Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shaar Gimel, Perek Beis. We spoke about in the last class how the whole connection between us and Hashem is really something that we can't fathom, something very, very lofty, something very distant. And therefore, our sages try and help us along by giving us analogies. And one of the analogies that we have from the sages is the concept of Mokum, that Hashem is called the place. And we spoke about just like nothing can be unless it has a place to be, right? No, the whole world has to be in a place. We have to be somewhere. Our furniture has to be somewhere. Our living conditions has to be in some place. So we understand that we need a place. Now, another analogy that the Chazal use is the analogy of neshama, that Hashem's control of the world is similar to the control of the neshama of the body. So let's see here. In chapter 2 of Shaar Gimel, he quotes here Re'a Mehimna, right, the Parshas Pinchas, the Zohar that appears in Pinchas, and which says as follows: Ve'islaminda, a person should know, Ke'gavne do bro nishmosa, right, in the same way that Hashem controls the world, that's how he created the neshama. Umari bo'in almim leis leishem yediyah v'loy asi yediyah, just like HaKodesh Bochu, Hashem has no known name. We don't have a real name. We give names to Hashem, but we don't know His real name. He doesn't have a known name, and He doesn't have a known place. He doesn't have a specific place that's His place. Now, Hashem is the place of the world, but Hashem doesn't have a place. He is the place. He's the source of all place. So He doesn't have a known name. He doesn't have a known place. The person who's a judge, a police enforcer, or a law enforcer, or a law decider. But that's not His name. His name, whatever. His name is Harvey Cohen. I don't know what His name is. Hashem, we don't know Hashem's real name. We don't have a real name. We give names, titles to His functions. So therefore Hashem has no name that we know of, or no place that we know of. But in terms of all that we know, all that we do know of our world, He rules it all. That we know. We know that Hashem rules it all. So similarly, the neshama also has no known name. Like we speak of the neshama, the soul being called the neshama, because it's also a function. And it is the life force. But again, we don't really know its name. We don't know its place. Where is the neshama? Where does the neshama reside? It resides right through the body. It fills the body. It's no specific place that the neshama has. Elokosta shultanusa. Rather, it just rules over the body. The neshama, the soul, rules the body. Right? You know, we control our bodies with our desires. Our desire is part of our neshama. And we tell our body what to do. Get up in the morning, take a walk, run, jog, go to shul, daven. The neshama, the decision-making power of a person, which is his soul, which is his life force, rules the body. Tells the body what to do, and the body listens to that decider. Where's that decider? It's not the brain. It's the neshama. It's the soul of the person. It's the intellect of the person that rules over his body, which is his neshama. And the chostah shultanusa. Right, it rules completely. We know the soul completely rules the body. Leis eva pono mino, and there's no place that's free of the neshama. And if a doctor will cut open a body, he can't see a neshama. There's no neshama to be seen. There's nothing spiritual, but it actually controls the entire body. The whole body is under its rule. The whole in neshama v'kinuin yiskari al shem kol almim. And therefore, so that's a similarity that Hashem has to the neshama. And as we're comparing the neshama to Hashem, but really we're using the concept of neshama to understand who Hashem is. It's just like the neshama controls the body fully, so therefore Hashem controls the worlds fully, and the names we give to Hashem, the different titles we give to Him, is all in terms of this chazoi shultanusalai, is all in terms of seeing His control over the world. We see His control of the world, so we give a name. We say He's the merciful one. He has mercy on us when He runs the world. He's the compassionate one. He's the forgiving one. He's the one that's slow to anger against us when we sin. So we speak about His qualities in terms of how He runs the world. But we don't actually have a title that we attach to Hashem, because we don't really know Him other than that He controls our lives. Similarly, the neshama also, in terms of its control over us, over all the limbs, that's how we know Hashem. By using that analogy, that's how we know Hashem. We know Hashem by using the neshama as an analogy. We know the neshama by using Hashem as an analogy. love the idmes le'i ve'atzma, and not that the soul is literally like Hashem, do borelah, because there's a big difference. Hashem created the soul. Hashem created the soul, but nothing created Hashem. So in other words, the soul, we compare the soul to Hashem in terms of the soul controls the body, like Hashem controls all of the worlds, but they're not mamish the same, because the soul itself was created by Hashem, whereas nothing created Hashem. So in other words, there's a partial resemblance between the two. Begin go il admas legabe mishulten usadilo, right? The neshama can be similar to Hashem in Hashem's control over the worlds. I'll call every gufa, and the neshama controls all of the limbs of the body. But not in any other way. It's a partial resemblance. The neshama has a partial resemblance to Hashem. And that's what we're using that analogy for, just to see Hashem's control of the worlds. In the Hebrew, he says like this: V'yesh ledas, and you should know, ke'ein ze bor neshama, like himself, he created the neshama. Umari bo'in ha'ulamim en lo shem yedua, v'lo mokam yedua. Just like the Lord of the universe has no known name, no specific name, or no specific place. Elamim shalt b'chol tzad. Rather, his rulership is over everything. He just controls it all. We know that he's everywhere. He controls everything. But where is his real place? That we don't know. Afkach ein neshama. So suddenly the neshama has no known place, but it rules everything. It controls everything. Elamim shalta he v'chol tzad. Its control is over all sides of our physicality. Ein eva ponim imena. There's no limb that escapes the control of the neshama, of the soul, of the life desire. V'chol eila shemus v'kinuim nikral shem kol ha'ilomis. And all of these names that it's given is because of how he interacts with the world. That's Hashem. Aris mem shalta lehim, that Hashem rules all of the worlds. Af neshama ba'avu mem shalta, I'll call every haguf imshila elov. So to the neshama, in terms of that it rules all of the limbs of the body, we compare to Hashem. Avaloisha neshama doime levatzmusa, but not that the neshama is literally like Hashem. Shayahu boro oisa, because Hashem created the neshama, so therefore the neshama can't really resemble Hashem in a full way. Neshama is just like Hashem in controlling every limb of the body, but not in terms of anything else, like we said. And suddenly all of those qualities that the Chazal, he's speaking about the Gemara that we spoke about before once, and the Neshama is similar to Hashem. There's five different resemblances that we spoke about, that the Neshama is like Hashem. So similarly, in terms of all of those resemblances that we speak about, that the neshama is like Hashem, I call you Rakal Inyan Hispashtusa is Bor Shmoy Bala Milomis. It's all in terms, all those resemblances, all in terms of how Hashem spreads out through all of the worlds. Mamalam, he fills the worlds. Ushlitos Salem, and he rules the worlds. Shirakbidovaze Levad Mistamim Binyonim. That's how the neshama compares to Hashem. Only in terms of those aspects, that it fills the world. Neshama fills our body. And it runs our body, controls our body, and Hashem fills the walls and runs the walls. But that's the only way in which we compare the two. Bechein Ramzu B'Tikunim, he brings another source from the Zohar, which hints to the same idea. Amud Ishtama Kale V'Dibure Min Kosaya, and Hashem's voice is heard. His voice and his speech is heard from his throne. Hashem, so to speak, has a throne, and from his throne he gives commands. And the angels and the heavens and the earth all know what he's saying. They can all hear his voice. They can hear Hashem's command. All of those below and those above and those below, can and they also uses the same comparison. Just like the neshama has full control over the body. So therefore, that's how Hashem controls the world. So he has another source for the same idea, that it's full control. I feel a be'evazir, even the smallest limb, right? Your neshama controls your whole body, even your pinky, even your smallest finger, your smallest toe. Your neshama runs it. You can tell it to wiggle, whatever, it can wiggle your toe for you. Neshama has full control. Nothing escapes the control of the neshama. When we speak here about neshama, we're speaking about a person's desire, which is really, I mean, what do we speak about the brain? The brain is an organ, but the organ is not really the person. It's not really the information. It's not really the personality. Personality is something spiritual, which is the neshama, which contains the intellect. The brain contains the intellect, but really the intellect is something spiritual. Intellect is not something physical. Right? It's just like the contents of a book. The contents of the book. You read a book. So the book is paper and ink, but the story that the book tells is not something that's paper and ink. It's a story. It's something. It's a concept. It's something that's non-tangible. So the intellect is non-tangible. We link the intellect to the neshama. When we speak of intellect, we speak about neshama. But it's not necessarily the brain, which is the organ, which is an organ. So the translation is as follows: Sheishma kule dibure min akise, right? His voice and his words are heard from the heavenly throne. Melachim shemaim oris sheivod lehem b'kol, who are informed, the angels and upper heavens and the lower worlds, all informed of Hashem's desires. Milo mata k'neshama nishalez v'holaguf. So therefore, Hashem's control of the worlds is similar to the neshama's control, the intellect's control of the body. Afilu be'eva koton, even the smallest of limbs, our intellect controls. Ve'en eva ponu mimenu, there's no limb that's free of that control. So there also, daik be'omru k'neshmosa v'shaltenuse. So there also, when he spoke about Hashem, it compared him. He said Hashem is like, he's like the neshama that controls. And also we understand from this that even in this area where we compared Hashem to the Neshama, it's not to equate Hashem to the Neshama completely. It's just a partial resemblance. Because even though they say, the Rabbi said, just like Neshama fills the body, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the world, but that Hashem is like a neshama. V'leis eva mina ponui mina ine. There's no limb that's free of the soul. V'sham b'tikun ayin. He brings different sources called eva ihu havaya. Every limb there Hashem is to be found. V'leis asa ponui mina. There's no place free of him. K'nishmos d'ishtakacha b'chol eva v'eva. Just like the soul is found in all places. So we're just using that comparison in that specific area. Right. Every limb, it's Hashem is Hashem. Hashem is Hashem right through every part of the world. And mokum ponu mimenu, just like with the soul, there's no place of the body that's free of the soul's control. So there's no place in the world that's free of Hashem's control. There's no place that's free of Hashem. There's no place that Hashem is not present. And the Shamash and says, because Eva of Eva should be good, just like the Shamash is in every part of the body. However, the comparison is limited, like we said before, because the way Hashem fills the world is not the same as the neshama fills the body. Here shows a big difference between the two. Right? The neshama filling the body and Hashem filling the world, there's a big difference between the two. Why? Because in terms of the neshama filling the body, the body itself is in its own reality. The body is separate from the soul. The soul gives life to the body. The soul controls the body. The soul runs the body. But the body exists separately to the soul. So the soul is like it's got its separate realm from the neshama. Actually, bispashir is the pnimius called pratei chalok of mekayma. Just that the neshama spreads through the body. It controls, it penetrates the body, but the body is itself its own entity. Also, when the soul leaves the body, when a person dies and the soul leaves the body, the body doesn't cease to exist. The body is still a body. Maybe it's a slab of meat, maybe it's going to rot, but in the meantime it's an entity, it's a real body. It's bones and limbs and flesh and skin, right? That still remains even though the soul leaves the body. The body doesn't cease to exist from reality. But here's the big difference. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gives life to the worlds, he fills all of the worlds, and he fills all creatures. He fills all creatures. We are filled with Hashem. Every creature is filled with Hashem. The smallest mosquito is full of Hashem. Right, the rocks and the stones and the pebbles and the grass and everything is full of Hashem, all of the creatures. And none of them oppose him in any way. Just like the body is something like a separate entity, none of them are separate. None of the creatures of the world are separate from Hashem. Right? None stands against Hashem or in contrast to Hashem. Not that Hashem controls it. Like if you have a remote, you can control something. You've got a little toy car, you've got a remote, and with the remote, the toy car moves around. So it's not like that. It's not that Hashem controls like he's the remote controller and he runs us. Rather, he is our entire existence. He brings us into existence. He is our existence. And oid milvadi yizborach mamish, and there is nothing really besides Hashem. Shum dove klal, there's nothing at all that exists besides Hashem. B'chol ha'olam is right through all of the worlds. Nothing. Nothing exists besides Hashem. Everything is only some sort of manifestation of Hashem. Alien Shabadion from the highest of the highest, the highest of angels, the most powerful of angels, Ada Tahim Hatachtin, until the lowest depths of the world. Shabatina's eyes in the depths of the earth. To the point that you could say there are no creatures in the world. Because really there is nothing else besides Hashem. So therefore there are no creatures. There are no mosquitoes in the world. There is no fruit in the world. There are no pebbles, no stones, no grass, no trees, no leaves, nothing. We don't exist besides Hashem. Right? That's the extent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the world. That really it's like we don't exist in front of Him. Only the whole creation is just filled with His unity. It's all filled with the essence of His unity, His simple unity of HaKadosh Baruch Himself. Hashem, we say Hashem is a simple being, right? Hashem Echad. Simple not meaning simple as simplistic or something that's stupid, but simple meaning that it's all one. It's all one essence, it's all one element, which is Hashem. Hashem Echad, like we say every day in the Shema. Hashem is one. So He fills the whole reality, and really nothing exists beside Him. It's not like the soul that fills the body, and then when the soul can leave the body, there's still a body. When Hashem leaves the world, there is nothing. Hashem is the world. There is nothing besides Him. If you look in the Rokeach, also he speaks about the holiness of the concept of unity, that it's all Hashem. And he says, Hashem doesn't need any place. He doesn't need a place. He doesn't need to be anywhere. He doesn't need any address. Because he was before anything else that was. He was all there was before there was anything. So he, before there was any places, it was only him. He was before any type of reality besides himself. There are no walls, there's no roof beams, there's nothing that stands in his way. There's nothing and that really exists outside of him. Because nothing he created can oppose him in any way. Hashem can't create an opposing force. He can't create an opponent to come and box with him, to come and fight him, to defy him, to deny him. He can't. Hashem can't be weak. Right, that's the famous question that they ask, right? If can Hashem create a stone that he can't pick up? So if you say this is what they argue. If you say that he can create a stone that he can't pick up, then he can't do everything because he can't pick up that stone. And if you say that he can't create a stone that he can't pick up, then he can't do everything because he can't create a stone that he can't pick up. So therefore, to say Hashem is everything is impossible because he can't create a stone that he can't pick up. And if he could create such a stone, then there's something he can't do because he can't pick up that stone. But the question is ridiculous because Hashem can't be weak. Hashem can't be weak. Hashem can't be less than what He is. He can't be less. Hashem doesn't go to sleep because Hashem can't be weak. Hashem doesn't catch cold because Hashem can't be weak. Hashem can't be weak. Hashem can't die. Hashem can't get sick. Hashem can't get old because He can't be weak. So it's not considered a limitation. That's His strength, that He can't be weak. His strength is He can't be weak. There's something that He can't do. He can't be weak. But so therefore that's the Rukeh says, he can't create anything that will hurt him. There's nothing that can oppose Hashem in any way. Right, chapter 3, Perikimel. Halo, who are Inyan Akosav? This is what the verse says in Yirmiyah. Halo, Es HaShemayim V'Sa'aretz Ani Moleh. The verse in Yirmiyah, the heavens and the earth I fill. Okay, so there you have the concept that Hashem fills the heavens and the earth, like we said before. V'yosem Afush B'Mishneh Torah. And then we have another pasuk in Dvorim. This is the pasuk we say every day in Aleinu. Yadata Yoim, you should know today, right? Ki Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem is the God. B'shamayim Yemal, in the heavens above, al aretz mitachas, and the earth below. Ein oid, there's nothing else. So again, we have this concept that nothing is besides Him. Nothing is besides Him. It's not just like the soul that runs the body, but there's really nothing besides Him. Ein oid, there's nothing besides Hashem. V'chein ata reisa ledas. Also another pasuk we say, also from Dvorim. Right? You have begun to know Hashem Hu Elokim and Oid Milvadu. There is nothing besides Him. Hu Mamesh Kemashmo. And this is to be taken literally. She'ein Oid Milvadu. There is nothing besides Hashem. There is literally nothing else in this world. He spoke long. Shum Bechina Nekuda Prati Shebechol Yilom. There is no detail. There's no point. There's nothing that's outside of Him. There's no idea that's outside of Him. There's no concept that's outside of Him. Nothing on high, nothing down below. Habrius Kulam, all of the creation, nothing exists outside of Hashem. Like Atzmus Achdusa, Hakoshit is Boshmoy Levad. It's only His simple essence, His simple oneness, is really the only true reality. And this is the inner, this is the secret of what it teaches in the Midrash. It says in the Midrash, Ki Hashem Hu Elokim. And on that pasuk is a Midrash that Hashem is the Lord of all, Ein Od. So it says that Yisra Nosen Mamish Ma'avodah Zorah. It says Yisra gave some sort of substance to Avodah Zorah, because when Yisra came and he was Megaya, Yisra came and joined the Jewish people in the desert, and he converted to Yiddishkeit. So he says, now I know that Hashem is greater than all the other gods. So by saying that, he's like, there are other gods. Hashem is great, there are other gods, but Hashem is greater than all the other gods. So to speak, he gave substance to the other gods. But the idea is that the idea behind it is like we break through barriers of misunderstanding gradually. You know, so to speak, there are other gods, but Hashem is greater than all the other gods. So that's a process of understanding that really He's the greatest force, and ultimately through understanding that, you'll come to understand that there are no other forces. There really are no other gods. He's greater than all other gods. That's what Yisra said. Now I know that Hashem is greater than all other gods, but that's like step one in towards understanding that there are no other gods. Right? And the Midrash goes on, the Naaman. Naaman was a Goyish general who came to, he was leprous, and he had a tzaraas, and he came to Elisha that he should heal him. And Elisha told him to dip in the Jordan, and he'll be healed. And the whole story there, but in the end, when he was healed, he went back and he said, now I know that Hashem is to be found amongst the Jewish people. Now I know that Hashem is amongst the Jewish people. So to speak, there's a world and there's peoples, and Hashem resides amongst the Jewish people. Again, it's not the full concept that there's nothing besides Hashem, but it's part of the process of discovering that there's nothing besides Hashem. Rachav was the Goyish woman who protected the spies. When the spies came to Yericho to spy out Yericho, and they wanted to conquer Yericho, so she hid them in her house. And she herself also says, Now I know that Hashem is the Lord of the heaven and the earth. So again, only the heaven and only the earth, there is nothing besides Him. It's a step towards, right? It's a process towards understanding, grasping that there is nothing besides Hashem. Moshe also made Hashem in space. Hashem, with Moshe, according to the way Moshe said it, so Hashem fills all space. And we think about space as just a vast emptiness. So Moshe said, no, it's not a vast emptiness, it's Hashem. Hashem fills all space. Right? So Moshe also said, all space, not only is it the heaven and the earth, but all space is full of Hashem. And says, and that's the pasuk that Moshe said, Hashem, He's Hashem in the heavens above and the earth below. There is nothing else. There's no nothing else. Another space besides Hashem. Now, what does it mean? There's nothing besides Him. Afilu chalolah shel olam, even the space of the world, there's nothing empty of Hashem. So this is the process of discovering for ourselves that really there's nothing else. Zegam ken bechlal maimon zal, and this is really what the rabbis want us to understand when they said shuvi spoke mekoyim shel olam. He's the place of the world. Ve'ino olam mekoyim. The world is not His place. He doesn't reside in the world. But the world resides in Him. He is the place of the world. All places which we sense. A person goes on a world trip. So he goes to one country, another one country, and he sees a mountain over here, he sees a river over here, he sees an ocean over here. Right? All of these places that we sense, right? These places don't have separate identity. They don't exist separately. They're really all linked. They're just all really part of Hashem's reality. And who is Baal Shemo? It's just different aspects of Hashem. Right? You go to India and you see a mountain. You go to Japan, you see the ocean. It's all just aspects of Hashem that you're discovering, you're uncovering. You're getting to know Hashem in different places, in different situations. Who are Mokum Shel Kol HaMakom? He is the place of all places. All places only exist because of Him. Shemitzidei Baruch Nechshavim Kulam Ki'ilu Einam B'Metzius Klal. Because in terms of Hashem, if we look at it from His perspective, that all of them is like they're not. It's all like nothing. They're all nothing. Right? Whole countries are nothing. Millions and people, millions and millions of people, whole nations, all nothing. From Hashem's perspective. Just like before the creation. Before the creation there was nothing. That's really how it is today also. There's really nothing. From that perspective. Now, what are we going to do with this idea? So he warns us as follows. Listen to the warning he's going to give us here. We already said before, when we started speaking about this subject, because this subject is a very, very deep subject. I mean, the idea is basically a simple idea that there's nothing besides Hashem, but the idea that is our reality. that our reality is Hashem, and it's really Hashem who's running our lives, in that we seem to have our own free choice, that's really something that's very hard for us to grasp. So therefore, there's a warning over here. There's a warning over here that when we think about such things, we have to follow this warning. The warning is as follows. We already explained in the beginning when we first started speaking about this subject. It says about the words of the rabbis. When we learn the words of the rabbis, the words of the rabbis are like hot coals. Now, it's a hot coal is a great thing, because if it's a cold winter night and you're sitting near a hot coal, it can warm you up. And it also gives off light. But if you get too cold, too close to a hot coal, you can also get burned, you can get singed. So the same thing with the words of our sages, they're like hot coals. You know, at a certain distance, so you get a lot of benefit from it. You can cook your food on it, you can get warmth from it, you can get light from it. But if you get too close, you can burn yourself, you can hurt yourself badly. So we have to be careful with the teachings of the rabbis. We're learning this teaching, and seemingly it's teaching that we understand. We think we understand it. We have to be careful with the coals of the Torah's teachings. That we shouldn't examine them too much. If a person starts thinking too much that there's nothing besides Hashem, so to speak, he can sort of lose his world, can move out of his world. If he starts attaching himself to this concept, there's nothing besides Hashem, he can actually get lost. He can actually lose his mind, or lose his life. Lose his life through becoming too attached to such an idea. There's a warning about moving into such thought patterns too deeply. Right? So that's what he means here. You have to be careful of the call of the sages, the call of the teachings of sages, not to think about them too much, not to investigate them too much. There's some things we're not allowed to think about. There's some things that the Torah says don't think about them. So those are areas we have to be careful not to enter too much. And that's when a person can get singed, he can get hurt. Right? We know the teaching about the four sages who entered the orchard. So the orchard is the deep teachings of the Kabbalah. One of them died. One of them went in, then he died. One of them became crazy, and one of them became a heretic. So the four that came in, three didn't make it. Three didn't come out properly. One died, one became crazy, and one became a heretic. Only one of them went in whole and came out whole. So that's because these things are dangerous things. If we start contemplating all how they're right, we start moving into these ideas too much, we can hurt ourselves. So it is with this frightening idea. And Adovamu, this idea is being said, this really is an idea for someone who's wise, who's discerning, and who understands a little bit by himself. Plinius, he understands a little bit, he discerns a little bit the idea behind these teachings. The Shi'ur, the Liba Levad. Right, he understands, he gets a sort of a feel of it with his heart. He sort of feels it with his heart. Rotsa Vishoy, we mentioned before, is to run and return. You run towards a very deep idea, and then you run back away from it. You run towards it and then you back away from it because it's dangerous. It can become all enveloping. You get lost in it. So you approach it at a certain distance and then you back off. You don't get too close because it's dangerous. So what's the point of getting close to these ideas? It's in order to inspire yourself. You become inspired. You come closer to the coal. You're inspired by the warmth of the coal. The warmth of the coal warms you. So therefore we come close to these ideas and they inspire us. They inflame us. They excite us. You become excited about Yiddishkeit by coming closer to these ideas. So it's there to inspire us and to inspire the purity of your heart, to give your heart to serve Hashem. That we should be inspired in our davening, we should be inspired in our service of Hashem, we should give our hearts to Hashem. So we feel there's something very powerful. So we sense something powerful, and that can inspire us, that can motivate us. That's why it's good, it's healthy to think about these ideas. But excessive thinking about such an idea, husakonatsum, is a great danger. Now then, Eman, that says in Sefer Yetzirah, im rotz lifo, if your heart runs away with you, if you go too far into these very deep ideas, so shuv lemokum, go back to just the simple idea that Hashem is the mokum. Hashem is the place of the world, and that's it. Hashem is the place of the world, that's enough. Don't start penetrating too deeply. Hashem is our source. That's enough. Hashem's our source, everything exists because of Hashem, and that's just basically a simple statement which encompasses everything, and it's sort of a healthy statement. It's not too deep, it's not too high for us. So therefore just go back to the idea Hashem is called the Mokum. Hashem is our place. He's the place of the world. The world resides within Hashem, and that's the idea you hang on to. That's an idea that's a true idea. It's not the full idea, but it's a true idea, which is a healthy idea that we can hang on to without getting lost. So if your heart's running away from you, come back to just the place that Hashem is the place of the world. He is the place of our, He is our reality. Moshe Kasavti Le'el Be'ek Be'ez, as we wrote before in chapter 2, Moshe Yatzov Mietz Hashem Lahana, as we'll still speak about further. And really, he says, I shouldn't have been writing all of this. I should have actually withheld from writing this book. I really shouldn't have written this book. That's what the Chaim Volozhin says. We find that the Rishonim, earlier sages, didn't speak much about this. They hid this matter. This is a hidden matter. So really, this is a fantastic book, the Nefesh HaChaim, which shows us explains many of the secrets of the Torah to us, the things that we wouldn't know otherwise. So he says, really, I shouldn't have written about it. We find the earlier sages didn't write about it, so I should have also not written about it. Moshe Tzio Dibe Kodesh HaRokeh, writes, what the Rokeh writes, he only hints to it slightly, these ideas. He doesn't speak to them about them explicitly. Because the sages are loyal to Hashem. If Hashem doesn't want something to be known too much, so they're loyal to his ideas. They don't serve ideas that Hashem doesn't want them to serve. So therefore, why did he write this book? Right? If there's a danger, a certain danger in entering these ideas, why did he write this book? However, I thought over the situation and I saw that the Rishonim who never wrote about these subjects, that was appropriate for their generations. In their generations, where people were very faithful to the Torah, very loyal to the Torah, so they said it's appropriate not to expose too much. Right? The glory of the king is in his privacy also. The king has a certain amount of privacy. You don't bring cameras into the living quarters of the king and expose every part of his life. You don't see the king brushing his teeth, so to speak. That's not something that's for public consumption. So therefore, the fact that they hid many of these ideas, these hidden ideas, in those days, in the earlier days, was appropriate for those generations. But nowadays, we live in times where there are no proper guides, where the Jewish people are lacking proper guidance. Everyone's doing his own thing. I was talking about in his times, 200 years ago, everyone's doing his own thing. Everyone's studying what he wants to study. Everyone's exploring whatever he wants to explore. And everyone's, he's navigating his own path through Yiddishkeit. He wants to study this, he wants to study this, he wants to study the Kabbalah. We have to realize that in times of Racham Volozhin, so the Hasidism was opening up the whole Kabbalah. And therefore people were exploring all sorts of areas. And the Gaon very much tried to put a stop to it. And the Nefesh HaChaim is following the example of the Gaon, that it just shouldn't run away with itself. These topics, it shouldn't become hefka. So since we're living in these times where each person is doing whatever he wants, he's studying whatever he wants, he's exploring whatever he wants, everyone's following his own logic, and every person, the people's inclinations is they want to fly in high heights, they want to go into very spiritual things, and they want to fly like birds through the heavens. Everyone turning to whatever science he wants to turn. It becomes something for everyone. Everyone's learning her Kabbalah. Everyone's learning these Kabbalistic ideas. And there's a fool of abusing it. So maybe we'll speak about this next time a little bit, how there's abuse. Are they now abusing the Torah because they're saying it's all Hashem and Hashem is everywhere, so this is not really forbidden, and it's all Hashem. So what's treif is also from Hashem. So food that's treif is also from Hashem, and ideas that are treif also from Hashem. And to say Torah in filthy places where there's toilets and feces, etc., we know you're not allowed to say words of Torah in a filthy place, but it's all Hashem. So therefore people are abusing the whole thing. So therefore he needed to write this book to put it in the right perspective, so that if you want something authoritative and you really want to know what's going on and there's so many confusing ideas, so study his work, because his work will put us on the right path.